The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What a way to start your public ministry campaign. This is certainly not a soft launch approach. To begin with, at the end of chapter 3, right before this passage, Luke tells us that Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. That alone should be good news to many a 30-year-old today. We are then given Jesus's entire lineage all the way back to the beginning of known time, including King David, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, and even Adam, son of God. Reciting such an illustrious family tree places Jesus on unquestionably firm ground as a faithful child of God and a candidate worthy of our attention. We have already learned that Jesus, along with a brood of vipers, has been baptized by John. Jesus has also been tested by the wily devil in the wilderness, but was able to withstand offers to thwart God's intent for him. Jesus emerged from that experience filled with the Holy Spirit. We are told that then Jesus returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. With all that under his belt, Jesus abandoned any ideas of a soft launch approach and arrived in his hometown of Nazareth, ready to declare who he was, what he stood for, and what he came to do. In short, he announced his public ministry, his fully functional campaign as the anointed one of God in a hard launch. In front of his whole family, his friends, the elders and rabbis, Jesus used sacred ancient scripture to outline his campaign promises and his platform, his mission and purpose in life. Now that is brave at any age, and so is what he claimed. Jesus intentionally picks the Isaiah scroll to read and teach on, and then he has the audacity to claim that it is talking about himself. Jesus recognizes that he manifests, he reveals and embodies the Spirit of God. He knows in his being that he has been given all the tools necessary to reveal God's intention for human beings and indeed the whole of creation. Let's look at what Jesus reveals about God in today's gospel. It's pretty straightforward. God cares so deeply about the plight of the poor, the oppressed, and the imprisoned that he anointed Jesus as a liberator, a redeemer, to set free all who wrongly suffer from injustice. In fact, theologies of liberation assert that God has a preferential option for the poor and the oppressed. And as such, so should all followers of Jesus the Christ, who are also empowered with the very same Spirit. In his use of the Isaiah scroll, Jesus helps us understand that God is not as concerned with all our efforts at appearing righteous or good, as much as God is concerned with our development of an increasingly more attentive spirit, open mind, and compassionate heart. The Christian response to the preferential option counts on it. It counts on our spirits being wide open to God. It counts on us using our God-given intellect. It counts on hearts being filled with compassion for all who suffer. Those are a must, because the Christian response to the preferential option for the poor demands that we create conditions for marginalized voices to be heard, that we defend the defenseless, and that we assess lifestyles, policies, and social institutions in terms of their impact on the poor and the oppressed. Another thing Jesus reveals about God is that God cares about our lack of ability to fully align with the poor, the oppressed, and the prisoner. He cares about humanity's blindness and unwillingness to contribute wholeheartedly to his campaign for justice. He cares that the year of the Jubilee, when slavery is abolished and debts are forgiven, is not yet a reality. Human trafficking and slavery still exist all over the world, including the United States. The overwhelming financial debt of whole countries, let alone individuals, has gotten worse, not better. Individuals are preyed upon with payday loans and predatory practices in rent-to-own furniture and appliance scams that are legally allowed to operate. Low-income housing is built way too far away from employment opportunities. There is still lack of access to real healthy food in the inner city, as well as quality health care. A disproportionate number of African American and Latino men are incarcerated. Prisons are for-profit enterprises. Incarceration has become a response to every kind of problem. There is a lack of will to efficiently process and hear cases for political asylum, instead keeping already traumatized people in captivity for long periods of time. There are levels of social injustice, both intentional and unintentional. There is ignorance, prejudice, and hatred on an individual level that is passed on. And there are also policies and practices that perpetuate poverty and disadvantage in our social systems and institutions. We need to understand systems of oppression that maintain advantage for some at the expense of others, systems that keep the disadvantaged in poverty and unable to thrive. We need to be able to actually detect and then observe when these systems are at play. We need to continue to be open to learning more about these systems that can be so very hard to spot. We need to listen carefully to people's stories and literally create conditions for the voices of the marginalized to be heard. Finding places and ways to listen and learn today is oh so much easier in this closely connected world. first, start with a prayer for the oppressed and for increased understanding. If you use a computer, you might want to try YouTube, as it alone has an incredible array of offerings, as do websites like the Southern Poverty Law Center and Equal Justice Initiative. If that's not your style, there are great books, including autobiographies and newsletters, lectures, workshops, and compelling movies to watch from your favorite armchair. There is even a board game called Your Privilege is Showing, and helps people engage deeply in conversation. All of these are listening and learning opportunities that can increase awareness and raise our collective consciousness. A change in the communal heart has the power to change society into the just and peaceful world God intends for each and every one of us. Of course, we do not always fail to respond to God's preferential option for the poor and oppressed, by no means. Works of mercy are all around us every day, and in them God is revealed, God is manifested here and now. People are using their gifts in extraordinary ways. We see it in all those who mentor young people whose imaginations of what is possible have grown dim or have never been given the space to grow. We see it when someone volunteers to answer calls at a suicide prevention hotline. We see it when scores of people donate, arrange for, and deliver water, food, and blankets to fire victims. I think of the man who knew his neighbors were elderly and disabled, carrying them out to his van one by one and driving through the fires in Paradise to safety. Jesus's mission, God's purpose, is fulfilled in all of these forms of assistance. Like Jesus, we too have been given all the tools necessary to reveal God's intention for human beings and creation. We have been given the Spirit of God through our baptism and have been asked to contribute all of our incredible, diverse gifts to God's campaign for justice. Listen again to God's plea and God's promise through a related poem from the prophet Isaiah. If you remove the oppression from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in the parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. I can get behind that candidate. I'm betting you can too. Amen.